Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Revelation chapter 12, we serve a very great God. And as the song said, just how great thou art. In times past, it has not been a question as to the greatness of God. As we get closer to the end of this church age, the Bible says there's going to be great apostasy leading up to. That's one of the signs of the end times, is a great apostasy, a falling away from the things of God. And so we should not be surprised that we are living in a world that has turned their backs on God. Even in a Christian nation, which if anyone would just look at the history of America, they can see God all over. I mean, God is the one that has given us the victories that this nation has had. It is God that has made this nation great. And yet, we find that even this nation is starting to, and has been for some time, turning their backs on God. Great apostasy. It has to take place because God said these are the signs leading to the rapture of the church. This great apostasy. And so for every Bible believer, God is still as great as he's ever been. And there's no doubt that we're living in a world that it's hard to convince them that he is a great God. Hard to convince them that we need to live by his principles and his precepts and obey his commandments, not the philosophies of man and not the rudiments or the ways of the world. And praise the Lord. That's why we have the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, we've been studying for some time now the entire Bible. We started in the book of Genesis. We worked our way through, taught one message on each book of the Bible. And that took 66 messages. And I stayed to that, one message on each book of the Bible. But when we got into the book of Revelation, we did give you an outline. But then we started chapter 1. We've been breaking it down and going through and doing a study, a Bible study on the book of Revelations, preaching through the entire book. The Bible takes us from eternity past all the way through to eternity future. Everything we need to know about the past, God has written it down, preserved it for us. You choose whether you believe it or not. Everything about the future, God has, that we need to know about, God has written it down and preserved it for us. Again, you choose to believe it or not. Doesn't make it true or not. It's true, whether you believe it or not. Doesn't keep it from happening. It's going to happen. If God says it's going to happen, it's happened just as he said it would happen leading up to today that we're living in. Amen. We can see that. If you just have any kind of spiritual vision of all, you can look back at the prophecies concerning the Old Testament to the New Testament, concerning the Messiah coming and the crucifixion on the cross. They didn't understand it in the Old Testament as much as what Jesus revealed it to them. It's there. They just didn't understand it. But he revealed it to them, told them that he would be in the grave 3 days and three nights, a sign of Jonah in the belly of the well, and all the different things that he related back to the Old Testament. Said he would resurrect. He would establish his church, a mystery of the Old Testament, very clearly revealed in the New Testament. The mystery of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, again, a mystery in the Old Testament, very clear in the New Testament, but it's all taught in the Old Testament if you just read it with understanding. And so Jesus gave us the understanding of the entire Bible, Old Testament, and then the teachings of Christ, which is basically the New Testament. And he has written it down so that we might know what he wants us to know. One of the things we studied about, one of the three things we've gone over concerning the book of Revelation, is that God has a purpose for revealing what he has revealed. There's a purpose for every word that God has written down and preserved in this Bible. So we better keep it the same. For the English-speaking people, the test of time has revealed that it's been this King James Bible that God used to establish this great nation that we live in. To establish his word for the English-speaking people. We don't need to change it. We just need to have a better understanding of it. So God has a purpose for revealing what he has revealed. Good men differ on some interpretations. good men differ on that. We've already seen a few things as far as some of the typologies, as far as when certain things are going to take place, how it was presented. They don't disagree on the doctrines, but they will disagree some on the interpretations when there is a little bit of leeway for interpreting when and where and who's going to be what, that type of thing. And that's all right. It's not going to change whether you get saved or not. It's not going to change the doctrines of our faith. And so I'm not going to argue those points. If you say, well, preacher, I was taught this right here and this right here, go ahead. Have at it. Help yourself. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Amen. And when it comes to that, when God does leave it up for maybe a different interpretation, I'm going to reveal to you what God's placed on my heart as best I can tell you from the entire Word of God. But you have the very same Bible. Read it. Let God speak to you. Don't argue about it. No sense of arguing about those things that are really trivial. Now, I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm talking about the trivial things. So good men differ on some of those trivial things and their interpretations. What I'm giving as we go through the book of Revelation is a practical study. I'm not breaking it down and trying to get so deep that none of us can benefit from it. I want to make it as practical as possible. I believe that's why we have the Word of God, so we know how to apply it to our lives. Just like counsel. Biblical counseling has, in and of itself, has never helped anybody. Biblical counseling applied has helped everybody. Amen? It's helped everybody. If you apply the Word of God, if you know what the Bible says, God cannot lie. God's promises are true and faithful. So applied, it'll change your life. But you decide whether you want to apply it or not. So we got into the book of Revelation, and of course, the chapter 1, it gives us the outline of the book of Revelation. It says, write the things which thou hast seen, chapter 1. The things which are, that's the church age. That's where we're at right now. I believe we're living in the last of the church age, the Laodicean church age. The Laodicean was the seventh church revealed. That is the last of the church age. And if you read and study the Laodicean church, it is exactly what we have today overall. Now, there's still the remnant of God, the God's church. Amen. Always has been, always will be. Okay. But as a whole, we look out there and that's the mentality. This Laodicean church age leading up to the end of the church age. And then the things which shall be hereafter. That's chapter 4, deals with the rapture of the church and what's going to take place in heaven for the saints. And then it goes into the tribulation period. Chapter 6 through 19, it reveals the tribulation period. Now, I don't believe that it's in chronological order. We've studied some of that. It reveals certain things, but we do know this. Everything between chapter 6 and chapter 19 will take place in 7 years. The tribulation period, broken down actually in 3.5 years, the first half of the tribulation, the second half of the tribulation, but in some disagree as far as what all is going to take place within the 7 years, when certain things are going to happen. What matters is all of these things will take place in 7 years. The tribulation will begin, the tribulation period will begin at the rapture of the church, which could be tonight. Therefore, the beginning of the tribulation could begin tonight. Now, again, just like I preached a couple messages on death and understanding that we have a physical body. And it's appointed that a man wants to die. Don't live your life thinking about death. It's good to know about it, to understand it. But live your life focused on living your life as God would have us to live our lives. But He has revealed to us it is appointed unto man wants to die. So we cannot be devastated when we have to face death because it's a reality of life. And praise God that we have the insight into what takes place for the believer after death, which takes the sting away from death. And death is swallowed up in victory. And right after we taught on physical body and how it's going to die, we taught on the spiritual body, the glorified body. Now, again, I would rather focus a lot of attention on my glorified body, but yet good or bad, you know, when it comes to death here, glorified, I still have to focus on life. God has me here for living and accomplishing what I'm here to accomplish. So even though we know these things, even the book of Revelation, we know the tribulation's coming and God has written it down for us. He has a purpose for that. But don't live in fear of the tribulation. Don't live in fear of the rapture. Praise the Lord for it and His timing if you're saved. And be aware of the tribulation because you don't want any of your loved ones to go through the tribulation. Once you understand what's going to happen there, you don't want anyone. You don't want to go through it. The only way to make sure you don't, get saved. The only way to make sure that your children, your parents, your in-laws, whoever, they do not go through the tribulation, get them saved. That's obeying the Great Commission. That's how we are to live, reaching the world with the gospel. Praise the Lord. So all of that leading up to what we're revealing here. So the tribulation period, 7 years, chapter 6 and 19. We studied the beginning of the tribulation. There's going to be the seven seal judgments. Jesus is the one that's the only one worthy to open up the seal. And it reveals seven seal judgments. The seventh seal judgment led into the seven trumpet judgments. The seventh trumpet judgment represents the final woe, the end time, the end of even the tribulation, which will include the seven last plagues or the vials. What's going to take place, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, it's going to be devastating to this earth. And those plagues or the vials that will be opened up. We've already studied last week an overall view of where it is all leading to. It's all leading to the end of the tribulation, which ushers in the millennial reign. What a great blessing that's going to be. And then eternity. This earth will be burned up. Yeah. Global warming will take place. Not over a period of time. At the end time, it will automatically take place. And it will be burned up. And everything that has to do with this world. God will create a new heaven, new atmosphere, an atmosphere designed for a glorified body. And a new earth. What a blessing. No need of the sun, no need of the ocean, no need of the moon. Just a new atmosphere, a different dimension than what we're focused with on today. But it is coming. So praise the Lord for that. He revealed those things to give John a little break in between all the different judgments. God knows what we can stand. Amen. He knows what we can handle. And sometimes we get to our limits and God says, all right, let me just give you a break here. Let me give you a little refreshing time so that you can be prepared for the rest of what I have for you. Well, He gave John that little bit of a break and revealed to him there in chapter 11, verses 15 to 19, a little bit of a view into where it's all heading to. Now we have chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. So stand with me. We're going to try to preach on these first 12 verses of chapter 12. Chapters 12 and 13. Now the seventh trumpet has blown. It has sounded. It reveals seven personages in these two chapters. A personage is a person of distinction. Seven things that are going to be very distinct that God's dealing with during this time of the tribulation period, during this seventh final woe and the seventh trumpet. So it pictures the seven personages which reveal spiritual warfare. And so let's read here, chapter 12, verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to His throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. And Lord, I pray as we look to this passage of Scripture that you preserve for us, that you would help us to have a better understanding of what you are revealing to us here. And with this greater understanding, it would motivate us to be more of what you would have us to be today in living life as a born-again believer, looking to accomplish all that you have for us to accomplish. Bless now in the study of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Can I tell you that there's been spiritual battles being fought from the very beginning? We find it with Eve, Adam and Eve, book of Genesis. Now Satan appeared to her and tempted her and blinded her to what God had truly said. And she lost that spiritual battle, and then Adam lost that spiritual battle and partaking of that forbidden fruit with her. And from there we have the record of human history. From the very beginning, and from that very beginning of human history, we find spiritual warfare taking place. Verses 1 through 12 pictures four main characters that are involved in spiritual warfare. Because it's coming to an end. During the tribulation period, this spiritual warfare, it's going to be intensified. But it's coming to an end. And for the last 3.5 years, Satan knows that I have but a short time. In that last 3.5 years, there's going to be greater warfare than ever before. And he is going to present himself as God and have the world look to him as God. So we find these personages. The first would be found in verses 1 and 2. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. Now, who is this woman? Now, there's some that would disagree, that would say that this represents something that it doesn't. I think when you study the Word of God, it's very clear that this woman is Israel, the nation of Israel. Matter of fact, if you look back into Genesis in chapter 37 with me, Genesis 37, and there's many truths right here in the book of Revelation that prove that, but one of the clear ones is found in Genesis chapter 37, and especially on Wednesday nights we've been going through and studying the life of Joseph and what God revealed to Joseph concerning what would happen when he became the second man to Pharaoh in Egypt. That his mother and father and even his brothers would bow down to him. The Bible says in Genesis 37, verse 9, and he dreamed yet another dream, and behold, told it to his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Now that's exactly what Revelation is saying about this woman. The sun and the moon and the 11 stars. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee on the earth? Joseph's dream pictured Jacob as the sun, Jacob's wife as the moon, and the other 11 brothers as the stars. God's chosen people, Israel, after he called out Abraham and he gave the Abrahamic covenant to Abraham, Abraham passed down this blessing that all the families of the earth would be blessed by Abraham, the seed of Abraham, and Abraham passed that blessing down to Jacob, and Jacob passed that blessing down to Isaac, and Isaac passed that down to Jacob, which would become Israel. And then we find that Israel's sons would become the 12 tribes of Israel, which is Old Testament Israel. And so the Bible here is revealing to us that Israel is a key nation or a people, always has been, concerning spiritual warfare. Even during this church age, and we look, and Israel had to become a nation in 1964, I believe it was, they became a nation. And right now, we look at the world, this one little piece of property, the whole world is focused on Israel. You're either for Israel or you're against Israel. If you're for Israel, then you have your nations. If you're against Israel, you have another group of nations. That's not a coincidence. That's spiritual warfare. That's what the Bible has revealed. So this woman would have been upon her head a crown of 12 stars, 12 tribes. And she being with child, God promised to bless the seed of Abraham. And that through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. The chosen seed of God would come through Israel. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come through Israel. Some might think, and they have thought this to be Mary, but it clearly it pictures Israel and spiritual Israel today. Because Israel still is a personage, a key factor in spiritual warfare. America does not want to turn its back on Israel. God raised America up to reach the world and also to be an ally to Israel. Because God has a purpose for Israel during the tribulation and then during the millennial reign. Jesus will rule and reign from Jerusalem. A very key landmass that God has plans for. So we find here when it gets into this tribulation and it starts the seven woe or the revealing what's going to take place in the last half, said the one thing this woman, Israel, is very key to some of the spiritual battles that will take place. The next we find would be Satan. And the travailing in birth, again, we find that Satan wanted to destroy the seed of Israel. Satan wanted to destroy Jesus Christ before he was born, then after he was born. He had all the children, 2 years and younger, when Christ was born, killed trying to destroy that seed. Well, Satan, verse 3 and 4, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Satan, spiritual warfare. Satan and all of his forces, the 7 heads. Now, there are some differences of interpretation, but most of those that I have read, the most of those would agree with the 7 heads would represent the 7 nations of the Old Testament used to persecute Israel. If you look to the Old Testament, there were 7 major Old Testament nations that were always a thorn in Israel's side. And that God would, at some time, allow them to discipline Israel, as God would bring judgment upon Israel because Israel would turn against God, then God would allow these nations to overtake Israel. You look and read this, the Old Testament, seven nations, Old Testament, used to persecute Israel. 10 horns. The 10 horns reveal the great power or the kingdoms in the New Testament. 10 horns or 10 kingdoms or nations that will make up the Antichrist. That will join forces against Israel and her allies. 7 crowns. And 7 crowns, it reveals that each one of these, or these the heads, the 7 heads have 7 crowns. Satan is the one that rules the kingdom. He has a kingdom. The Bible reveals, Jesus revealed that Satan has a kingdom. He's a very powerful kingdom. In Matthew chapter 12, look there with me. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 26. In Matthew chapter 12 and there in verse 26, Jesus said, "And if Satan cast out Satan," because they accused him of being Satan, "and if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" Now what I want you to see here is Jesus acknowledged a kingdom that Satan ruled. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Satan at the temptation of Christ offered his kingdom to Christ. Verse 8 and 9. "Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world." He's the prince and the power of the earth. Satan. "Revealed to him, will show them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me." But what's it revealing there? Revealing that Satan has a kingdom. He is a king of darkness. His main desire is to devour the woman and her seed. Did you get that right there? With all of his power, his main desire and what he has been working on since the very beginning is to devour the chosen people of God and her seed. From the killing of Abel, through attacking Israel, to today attacking the true church. The spiritual battles are raging. Satan's desire is to destroy the true seed, that which is representing Christ. Wow. There's going to become even more greater persecution on the church that stands where God wants the church to stand. In Revelation chapter 12, go back there with me. That was the second personage that he reveals. He reveals Satan. He reveals Israel. Then he reveals Satan. Now he reveals the child or Christ, Jesus. "And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And he will. And her child was called up unto God and to his throne." Where is Jesus today? On the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession. "And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God." God is going to protect her during this time of the tribulation. The tribulation period is about the Jews. Now, it also will be the lost Gentiles on this earth, but it's a time that he's going to deal with the Jews. The Jews have rejected Christ, and that's why they do not believe the Messiah has yet come. They still look for the Messiah to come. But they rejected the Messiah. And so Jesus turned it over to the Gentiles, which that's you and I. Amen. During this church age, established his church. But after the church is raptured up, then we're, this tribulation period is going to be dealing with Israel. It's going to be dealing with this Jewish race. And the Bible goes on to say, verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, for she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days, 3.5 years. The child, Jesus, he came to deliver man from Satan's grasp. Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 John chapter 3, amen. Everybody following with me tonight? This is a lot to take in, I know, as we're understanding it, but it's a deep book. It gets you really thinking about some things. But it is something that we have to be aware of and know where we're going. Know what's on the horizon. 1 John, that keeps you faithful to God today. Even in a time when there's great apostasy, we'll still want to stick to the Word of God and live as God would have us to live in preparation for what God has in store. And 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, the Bible says, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We were bound in sin, and Satan had a stronghold on our lives. And then we found the Savior. You cried out and confessed your sin and asked Jesus to be your personal Lord and Savior. He came in and gave you the victory. Set you free. Amen? What a blessing there. That's why he came. The child came. The Messiah to be the Savior of the world. The Jews didn't understand that. Even his disciples didn't understand that he was coming to be the sacrificial lamb so that he would come back to rule and reign. They wanted him to rule and reign the first time he came. That's why they all fled when he was taken captive, especially after he was crucified. Even though he told them and tried to explain, they didn't understand it. They didn't want to understand it. They thought he was come. He was the Messiah, the Christ child, and he was going to lead them to rule and reign. But he had to first of all come as a sacrificial lamb. But he will return, and he will lead Israel to rule and reign with his bride, the church. So the child, Jesus, he came to deliver man from Satan's grasp. And he will return to rule with a rod of iron. Verse 5 tells us that. Verse 7 through 10, we find, verses 7 through 10, the fourth personage is that of the archangel, Michael, which reveal guardian angels. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels, the angels of God, Michael being one of the archangels, fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. What's that revealing to us? That there's spiritual battles taking place. That's still taking place today. Satan would love to devour, and God sends angels to watch over. Amen. Satan would love to blind you, and God sends an angel to give you light. Satan would love to tempt you into evil, and God sends an angel to help you to see the truth. And they're battling. Spiritual warfare. I remember when I was a teenager and I was running from the call of God upon my life. And I was going to some places I knew I shouldn't go. And I remember going into these places, being around the things of the world, and just sensing the oppression of God, sensing the darkness and the presence of evil. I would try to fight it off and act like I didn't see it, didn't notice it, because I was running from God. But it was so evident. And there's no doubt that every one of us here would be able to say, you know, I've been in places where I could just sense evil. And I've been in places where I could sense the presence of God. Amen. I choose to be around the presence of God. I choose every opportunity I can when the church doors are open to come to church, because when I come into church, I have the promise of He, Jesus Christ, is going to be in our midst, and we can sense the very presence of God, which is a presence of light. How? I can't see how any saved person that has experienced the presence of God would prefer to be in the presence of darkness. I think you can, but like I was, you know it's darkness. And you're just trying to convince yourself you don't sense it. And it's there. Spiritual battles. Spiritual warfare. God's revealing that through the archangel Michael and what has been taking place from the very beginning of time. And He reveals some things even in the very beginning of time. How all that happened and when it happened. We don't all agree on exactly when that took place, but we know that it took place. And God's revealing it here in these personages. They fight. The guardian angels fight against the forces of the devil. First, it was fault in heaven. There's a third part of the angels of God that followed Lucifer, which become fallen angels. Many look to those as being demons today that Satan uses. But there's fighting. There is this spiritual battle taking place. Hebrews in chapter 1. Running out of time here. I'm not going to go much farther, but I do want to share just a couple more thoughts with you. Hebrews in chapter 1. He's talking about the angels. And he says, are they not all ministering spirits? See, we were created higher than the angels. Angels are eternal beings. The fallen angels will live in a place of hell, prepared for Satan and his angels, the Bible says. And all those who reject Christ will go to this Gehenna hell. And they are they not all ministering spirits? They're all eternal, and they were created to minister. Sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. If you're saved, then he's talking about you right there. You're an heir of salvation. And if you're saved, then can I tell you, you have ministering angels that help fight off the demons, the fallen angels. Even Satan himself. That spiritual warfare, you can't see them. Doesn't mean that they don't exist. You can sense evil as well as you can sense the presence of God. What a blessing that is. Satan fights the work of God through spiritual warfare. But we can overcome him. God has given us the victory. And that victory over spiritual warfare is found through Jesus Christ. And he says this, verse 11 and 12, and we're just going to briefly read it. Might come back next time and preach on this, because this is powerful. And they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb. Outside of the blood of the Lamb, outside of salvation, you are no match for the devil. Satan will chew you up and spit you out. Amen. He'll have his play with you. He'll destroy your life. But if you're under the blood of the Lamb, the only power he has over you is the power you give him. The power you yield to. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Can I tell you, if you're saved, you have a testimony? If you're being overcome by the devil, can I tell you one of the things you're not doing? You're not sharing your testimony. You're not telling people, I'm a born-again believer. I'm a blood-washed individual. I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. He dwells within me. I'm a child of God's. If you're being overcome by the devil, you're not sharing your testimony. No, you're suppressing that testimony. And you're trying to fit in with the darkness. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, getting saved, and then realizing that as a saved individual, you have a testimony, and the world needs to hear your testimony. There's people that you can speak to, and you can reach, and no one else is going to be able to reach. And Satan's going to try to keep you from giving your testimony. Yeah. And by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. It's not all about me. Lord God, your will, not my will. When you lose sight of that, Satan's going to devour you. You lose sight of God's will and you focus on your will, and when you turn to your will, you'll turn away from God's will, and when you turn away from God's will, Satan is right there with all the demons of hell to devour. Being saved, giving my testimony, staying in the will of God, I'm a conqueror. I'm a victor. Satan cannot overpower me. They overcame him by these things. Spiritual battles, that's how they've always overcome. That's how Adam and Eve overcame. That's how Israel would overcome. That's how the first century church overcame. And that's how the last century church, whether it's the 21st century or the 22nd, that's how we'll overcome through the blood of the Lamb. Spiritual battles are being fought. He's revealing these personages leading into what's going to take place on this earth. If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The book of Revelations reveals what God says will take place on this planet earth, what will take place in the future. He gives us a time frame. He doesn't tell us when it's going to be. He says that when after the rapture takes place, then it's pretty much revealed 7-year tribulation. 3.5 years and 3.5 years. A dividing of the 7 years. After that, there will definitely be 1,000-year millennial reign. And after that millennial reign, there will be no more time. Time will be dissolved. Eternity will be forevermore. I don't know how God might have used this in your life tonight. You were here on this holiday weekend. There's a reason you're here. God opened the door and you took advantage of it. You're here tonight. What decisions might God have you to make tonight? If you're here and you're not 100% sure that if your eyes were to close in death tonight that heaven would be your home, then you're going to have to go through what the Bible talks about in the tribulation. You don't want to go there. Why don't you get saved tonight? Just come to this altar, let somebody take a Bible and show you what God says you must do to be saved. Maybe you're not using your testimony like you ought to use your testimony. That's why you're falling prey to darkness. Maybe you need to come tonight, rededicate your life, and ask God to help you to have a testimony that glorifies Him. Whatever it might be, do what God would have you to do. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray now that you'd help us to, as we've heard it taught and preached, I pray that you'd help us to now make this application and help us to know what you would have us to do individually. Lord, I pray that you would just work now, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.